I will be reading Deuteronomy chapter 16, chapter 18 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 16, 18 through 20 from the English Standard Version. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God has given you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not prevent justice, you shall not show partiality, and you shall not accept a bribe. For the bribe blinds the eye of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land of the Lord your God has given you.
Good afternoon. Again, it is good to see you, and we're very thankful for your being here with us this day, this beautiful Lord's Day. And again, we need to be thankful to our God for all of these things, and thankful to our God for all of the blessings that He shares with us. Anthony and I were discussing his new work recently, and he shared with me, as I mentioned this morning, one of the philosophies of the Koch brothers, and that principle is very simple. Just do what's right. And now I see it. I put that wrong in there, didn't I? It says to what's right. That's supposed to be to do what's right. But, you know, I think about that, and I think about Kirk and his classes working with the same company, and one of the things that he shared along the line as well is having met one of these men, walking down a hallway and knowing that not only do they believe in just doing what's right, but they also believe in the principle of adding value to everything that the company does every day. Add some value to the company in one way or another every day. And needless to say, when he met that fellow, that's the first thing that crossed through his mind is, what am I going to say if I'm asked, what did I do for the company to add value today? And it reminds me of when I was a little younger, my uncle used to say to me sometimes, he would say, well, what did you do good for the world today? What did you do good for the world today? Well, I assert to you that if we just do the right thing and we measure the right things by God's word, then we will have done something good for the world today. It seems to me that Einstein did a lot of good for science. And I read that once on the way to an important science conference, he happened to notice that his driver looked a lot like him. And I thought, I don't know if I'd want to get in the car with someone who looked like Einstein with all of that, but he noticed that they looked a lot alike. And he said to him, he said, you know, you look a great deal like me. And he said, well, you know, that's very true. Einstein said, you know, sometimes I really get tired of us having to go to all these conferences. And he said, yes, I understand. And as your driver, I've just about memorized everything you have to say. And so I could give one of those talks myself. Einstein thought about that for a minute, and he said, well, why don't we do this today? When we get to the conference, let's just trade outfits. And you go and give the conference speech. And I'll just sit back and enjoy and sit back here in the back as a driver. So they went to the conference, not knowing that in the crowd there was a doctor of philosophy who had this great, involved, deep question. And he was waiting for Einstein to get through. So when he said, are there any questions? He said, yes, sir, I have one. And he asked this terribly in-depth question. And the man, now the driver, standing before everyone, said, well, sir, that question almost insults me. It's so simple, I'm going to have my driver answer that for you. Now, I don't know if that's just doing the right thing or not, but when we consider these things today, I assert to you that as well, we will find that when we look at our text today, the first thing the Israelites are told is, then their responsibilities, by the way, is that the judges here are dealing with people and they are to be just. And we consider that to be fair-minded. In verse 19 specifically says, don't rest in the King James, don't pervert this justice, if you will. And then it goes on to explain just how that justice could be perverted. Number one, by being a respecter of persons, picking certain people to honor over others. And then number two is accepting bribes. And finally, what we get down to verse 20, if you will, paraphrase that with me in the very first few words. He's saying to the judges, just do what's right. I believe that God expects us to be able to look into the pages of His Word and understand what it means to just do what's right. When we gauge ourselves by Him, we will not go wrong. And when we look at those judges, they're told to do what's right, and then there's an inference of death right in behind that as well. So just doing what's right, well, that's very, very serious business. And you can see right here, I've got, well, of course, that's supposed to be just, you know, to do what's right, but act right. Now, here's what I mean by that. We can break down that word in three simple thoughts. First of all, to analyze the situations that we come in contact with. Consider other people. And finally, think about something. Unintended consequences. How about that? Think about unintended consequences. When we look at this, I'm reminded of what we find as we look into Matthew chapter 7. Because as we analyze situations, we need a gauge to be able to tell us how to figure out the way we are to measure things up, to analyze these things. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 7 and pick up at verse 15. We'll be spending time in Matthew 7 and Matthew 17 this evening. Matthew chapter 7, and we go down to verse 15, and here's what we read. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You will know them, and this is the point to underline. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you shall know them. And this I'm reading from is New King James. By their fruit you will know them. Folks, others will leave us a trail that tells us what they believe, and whether we realize it or not, the trail that we leave behind us, the way that we live our lives, tells others what we indeed do believe. One thing we can know is this, that just because someone else's fruit is rotten doesn't mean that we need to follow suit. Sometimes bugs can get in trees and kill a lot of them before somebody takes a preventative measure to stop that. If someone is bringing a false doctrine or division, we must realize that unscrupulous people exist. Now, some would be willing to hear truth and correct their direction. Others are simply looking for a fight. Analyzing that situation means expecting that there will be problems from time to time, because we are warned by God above that those things will take place. And where there's a track record for fighting and enabling those to avoid truth, we need to be wary lest someone try to use us as an example. When we look at what we find in Matthew 17, we can see that perhaps giving them what they think they are due, which would be a polite and humble response, that they will interpret as an admission of their being right. It's simply a recognition of unnecessarily engaging with someone who is so believes they cannot be wrong. That means that we're going to have to analyze the situation honestly. Matthew's record in chapter 17 takes us from the transfiguration rather quickly to Capernaum. And in verse 24, we read, "When they had come to Capernaum, those that received the temple tax came to Peter and said, 'Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?' And he said, 'Yes.'" When they had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him. Now these that were approaching Peter seemed to be, at least in my humble study, ready to deal with a confrontation simply by the tone that I see here. And having a track record of trying to tangle Jesus up in some sort of controversy, Peter answered correctly. Would it have done good if Peter had called them out for such a question to the very Son of God? Even in challenging situations, we can and need to train ourselves to be better at considering others. I think as we analyze our own lives, I believe we can all do a better job at considering others. I believe if we will indeed be those who dig into a study of God's Word, we're doing our daily Bible reading, we may need to catch up based on a couple of eyebrows I saw earlier. But if we're doing these things, we can be better at analyzing situations and considering others, making sure that we practice that which the world refers to as the golden rule. And we looked at our text and we would see there that there would be some that could have possibly been respecting others. So they're told, don't respect others because this is a travesty of justice because of what you would do to others. We need to consider that every individual is valuable before God. Now I find it fascinating when we go to Matthew 7, that the verses in an outline form often will be put together from verse 7 down to verse 12, which is where that statement that we often refer to as the golden rule resides. The discourse begins this way: ask, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks will receive, and he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man, if there is among you, who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, or know how good to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want that men should do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So when we begin here, he says, to seek. To seek. Seek what? Seek the kingdom. Seek God's wisdom. Seek within my heart a concern for others. Because that last verse makes it plain, whatever we would that men should do to us, we should do to them. Now, that doesn't mean try to do something in a hurry, do it to them first so you can get away with it. That's not what I'm getting at. Treating others with the honor that we indeed wished that people would treat us with. Keeping in mind that considering others means I'm going to want to know, what's it like to be in their shoes? What if, how is this going to impact me if I'm considering them? When we go back to Matthew 17, there at verse 25, and when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated Peter and he said, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take their customs or taxes? From their sons or from their strangers? And Peter said to him, from strangers. And Jesus said to him, then the sons are made free. And Jesus makes a point here that in truth the sons owe no tax. But think with me for a moment. Would it have brought glory to God if Peter had been contentious and raised some sort of point here? Would it have created glory before, or created a controversy, if you will? As we analyze situations and consider these things carefully, we need to think about how others will respond. Because as we analyze and we consider others and have a desire that others would treat us with the same honor, we must also realize that in considering others, that sometimes there are those who intend to create some sort of controversy. Peter responded appropriately. Peter responded appropriately indeed, because the example we find here is something we can apply to this idea of thinking of unintended consequences. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I just knew I had all the facts. I knew all about it, and I had everything I needed to make this decision, and there was nothing that was going to get in the way. And then here comes that bowling ball, poof, to knock me down, that big piece of information, that important piece that I knew nothing about. We need to be thinking as we are trying to do what's right, as we deal with others, the possibility that there are unintended consequences on the way. As we look at our text, there in Deuteronomy, we see the command is given them for them to be altogether just. And then in verse 20, do things justly. Apply yourself that way. Do the right thing. Now, when we look at Matthew 17, Peter answered Jesus and said to him, from strangers. And then Jesus said, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, now watch this, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you've opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Lest we offend them. Thinking about the repercussions. That means we have to do something that's very painful sometimes. We have to think. I say that seemingly in jest, but in truth, we do like to live in a world where we can get up at the same time, the alarm clock goes off at the same time, we do the same things every day, we go the same direction. We generally are a people of habit, which means that we can get away without having to think. Jesus makes it plain here that we need to be people who think. God gave us this ability. He's never asked us to do anything we can't. So we can. And we can grow to be better at it. Thinking of others. But sometimes, you ever been pushed in a corner? You ever been pushed in a corner? Make a decision now. Go, go, go. Jesus sets for us an example along that very line. When we get to John chapter 8. But when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came to the temple and all the people came to him and he sat down and he taught them there. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And they set her in the midst and they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? Think with me for a moment. Here's Jesus with an opportunity to analyze the situation, to consider everyone who was there, and to think about unintended consequences. And yet, there's going to be urgency pressed on him. What do you say? And this, they said, testing him. Choose. They said this, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Choose. What do you say, Jesus? You're the one who knows it. Jesus, what do you say? Choose. You've got to make a decision right now. So when they continued asking him, you remember sometimes for those of us who have kids, you remember when the littles were going to say, Mom, Dad, I want. In childish way, they were treating the Savior. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And then he stooped back down on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the very last. Then Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing there in the midst, and when Jesus had raised himself up and saw that there was no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those your accusers? Has no one condemned you? And she said, No one, Lord. Then Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Sometimes when we're dealing with the challenges in this life, we feel trapped, and that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to feel trapped. Choose. You've got to do it right now. Choose, they shouted out, Jesus. But Jesus took the time to think. He took the time to love. And he took the time to lead. Because, you see, Matthew 4 helps us understand that Jesus has set the tone. Every time he's tempted, his response is, It is written. Every time. if we delve into the pages of God's Word, we will find the answer to the question, what does it mean to just do the right thing today? When we do what's right, by the way, we have done something good for this world. But the worst thing that we can do is turn away from God's Word. We know that within this book lies the right thing to do. Do you, friend, believe that Jesus is the Son of the Mighty God? John 3:16 tells us that Jesus is the very Son of God, and God sent him to die on that cross for your sin. Do you trust him enough to obey him? That's the question. Do you trust him enough to obey him? Full obedience meaning that we're willing to repent of sin and put away those prideful, sinful things that keep us distanced from God. Trusting him means I'm going to demonstrate my trust by repenting. It means that I'll demonstrate my trust by confessing that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10 and verse 32. And by being baptized, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What is it there? Coming into contact with the blood of Christ through that humble and obedient act of baptism, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. But it could be tonight that you are one who did those things and has found yourself not doing always the right thing, falling victim to a deceiving devil. Tonight is the night to make all things right with the mighty God. Be his now. Do the right thing as together we stand and sing.